The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Too many people settle for average because they feel that it's too difficult to go beyond average to exceptional. The tools are all there, but people don't realize the small amount of extra effort that is needed to reap big rewards. Welcome to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. Chris and his guest experts are here to show you where the possibilities lie and what they can do to help you. Now, here is your host, Chris Ruisi.
And good afternoon, everybody, here on the east of the Mississippi. This is Chris Ruisi. And for those of you who are on the other side of the Mississippi, good morning. Way out there in California, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. Another episode of Step Up and Play Big and with me, Chris Ruisi. And I say this all the time, but I really mean it. This is a great show. I've got Robert Brands, the innovation coach, a successful entrepreneur, author, publisher, and owner of founder of Brands & Company. And he's the author of a great book entitled Robert's Rules of Innovation, a 10-step program for corporate survival. Well, I got to tell you, folks, I've been going through the book, and it's not just about survival. It's about thriving. And as you listen to Robert today and the questions we're going to ask him, you're going to see how he stepped up and played big and took advantage of an opportunity. In essence, they always say, well, if an opportunity knocks, you open the door, but if you haven't got a door, you build one. So Robert's going to tell us about that today. The topic is Innovate to Thrive, and we're going to explore some of the key aspects of his book. And everything we're going to be discussing today is based upon actual success stories on bringing at least one new product per year to market. And this is great. You know, how many of you take for granted those little pumps that we see in restrooms and at home for soap dispensers and things like that? Well, guess who brought that to market? My guest today, Robert Brands. I've been running around the kitchen. I told Robert before showing my family, I'm going to talk to the guy who made that. So I want you to pay close attention take notes, because it's going to be an interesting and valuable show for those of you. First, let me share a little bit about Robert. He's the president and founder of Brands & Company. And information can be found at www.innovationcoach.com. He authored Robert's Rules of Innovation with Martin Kleiman, The Imperatives to Create and Sustain New Business, which was also published by Wiley Publishing. He has hands-on experience in bringing innovation to the market, and that spans almost decades of work and innovation, and it includes the creation and improvement of product development processes and company culture. He's delivered on his pledge to bring at least one new product per year to market in everywhere he's worked. Most recently, Robert served as the president for the Americas of the Linden Group, innovator and leader in aerosol valves. Before, he was a managing director of the personal care division of Rexam Plastics, representing about $1 billion in sales with 25 sites worldwide. Under Robert's stewardship, he delivered consistent double-digit profitable growth, and he grew up profitable growth everywhere he worked. Robert grew up in the Netherlands and earned a BS in business administration from the HTS Eindhoven before immigrating to the U.S. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to welcome Robert. Robert, thanks for being here, and thanks for doing the show.
Hey, Chris. Great to be with you.
I'm telling you, this is going to be great. I'm going to be taking notes. So if you hear a lull in the action here, it's because I haven't finished a sentence. Robert's done a great job of outlining the approach we're going to take for today's show. We have, as you know, we have four segments. And in this first segment, Robert's going to talk about innovation or die. And Robert, let's get started. And, you know, you talk about a definition of innovation so that we can all get on the same page. So let me flip it to you and let's start with that.
Yeah. First of all, Chris, thank you for the introduction. And innovation is so key and important, whether you have a small business or a big business, because if you don't innovate, you will die. You will perish. And I think in today's environment, it's even more important, because when you look around you, product life cycles are getting shorter and shorter. You know, if you look at the consumer shelf in the supermarkets, it doesn't take 2 or 3 years or things are being repositioned. But there's so many other reasons, whether it's new competitors or changing customer behaviors. Like, think about how they used to rent videotapes. Now it streams online. I mean, if you were a videotape maker, you better had reinvented your business. So there's many, many reasons. And it ultimately all comes down to the product life cycle. And your listeners hopefully can envision this product life cycle where it ramps up and then it tops out and then it crests and it goes down. And you really have to think about your business, whether it's product or service, as to where you are on this product life cycle. And most people are not anymore in this double-digit growth phase, but are maturing. And it is so key to figure out what do I need to do to have to build a life cycle upon life cycle so you can continue to have double-digit profitable growth and have a sustainable business.
Now, so, Robert, let me just ask you one quick question. What I'm hearing you say is that in order to achieve higher levels of growth and have a viable, successful business, you almost by definition have to learn to question the status quo and not get too comfortable.
Exactly. And I'll give you one tip right away. One of the key things you should do as a business leader or in your business is to put innovation on the agenda. If you have a monthly management meeting, put it on the agenda. Don't make it by accident or once a quarter when you brainstorm or an afterthought after you maybe thought strategically about your business. It's got to be top of mind, you know? And to me, it's something that should be top of mind every day in your life. The other day, I was in Amsterdam walking along the canals, and I saw this barge going through the canal with a DHL banner. And I thought, hey, what a great way to advertise the express delivery services. Then I realized it wasn't actually advertising. It was the delivery vehicle through the canals in Amsterdam to make the express package deliveries instead of being stuck on the narrow roads. And then I was with another customer who was in construction products, and I said, how about using something like that in Amsterdam to deliver your materials? So you always have to think innovation and be busy with it and have it on top of mind to be creative and see how you can help grow your business day in, day out.
Okay.
So as I said, you know, it's really key, first of all, to have it on top of mind, and it starts with really defining innovation. Because if you ask in any organization, Chris, how do we define innovation? You will get 10, 15, 20, hundreds different definitions.
Yep.
So one of the key messages for your listeners is really to define it first and foremost. And the way I compare the importance of this definition is an aircraft carrier in the middle of the Atlantic. Envision an aircraft carrier with its protective ships around it over the horizon. They cannot see each other. So they have to be exactly aligned. If they are even 1 degree off, there's going to be misalignments, and the defensive and offensive shields are completely wasted. So you have to look at innovation in that way, that you want to make sure that everybody is aligned in the hope that you can go in the right direction and align it with the strategic intent of your business. So the alignment is really key. So, and part of this innovation definition is really making sure, Chris, that you engage and involve everybody in the organization. And that's a big challenge and a big step. What I'd like to take some time to talk about is a real easy way of convincing everybody on how to do that.
Okay, great.
There's a great philosophy by a gentleman called Doblin out of Chicago that created a model called the 10 types of innovation. And those 10 types, they go from process innovation to offering, typical product or service, but also to delivery and finance innovation. And when you go across those 10 types of innovation, you realize that innovation isn't just for the R&D people, for the new product development people, or often top management to figure out. No, it's something that everybody can own, and everybody can have some ownership in, and everybody should be involved in. Now, you might think, well, what do you mean financial innovation? How does that work? Well, a great example, for instance, is Dell Computer. You know, Dell Computer was innovative in the sense that they didn't make thousands of computers to put in a warehouse to go to a retail store and then be sold and ultimately maybe to get paid in 60 or 90 days. They actually turned around the business model and basically took orders over the internet or through the phone, got paid immediately, and then made and shipped the computer as soon as possible. And you can imagine already what a tremendous cash flow, positive cash flow impact that had on the business for Dell, and with that, a tremendous competitive and innovative effect. So yep. it's those kind of things that you have to really think about and translate. And like that, there's 10 types. You go from product system innovation to service to channel innovation. You know, the Nike stores are a great example. You know, sneakers used to be bought just in a department store. Now it's a dedicated store where you're completely immersed, and the brand can send the ultimate message so that when you are on the second floor, on the basketball floor, you can really feel and experience the sport.
Yes. So
like that, there's 10 types. And with that, I really try to advocate and promote the fact that everybody should be involved. And often in our business, the best brainstorming sessions we had when we brought diverse people together, you know, from finance to logistics to customer service to sales, marketing, et cetera, not just R&D.
Now, for that to work, Robert, and I agree with you 100%, the leader really is the person who is sort of the conduit, the center of the spoke, to make sure each of those folks, those disciplines, bring their individual knowledge to the overall objective of making that company's vision a reality, correct?
Right. And with that, you're actually hitting one of the first key points on Robert's Rules of Innovation, which we'll talk about in the second segment, but that's all okay. About inspiration. But the chief executive officer, he or she, has to be the chief innovation officer. There is no way to delegate it. Yes, you can delegate project management and to make things happen practically and follow a process, but the key is that the chief executive officer has to be the chief cheerleader and the chief innovation officer, because ultimately, if the boss doesn't inspire the managers or doesn't walk the talk, who is going to follow? And I have a great example. I mean, when I worked for the Kohler company, for Herb Kohler, who was a private entrepreneur of a couple billion-dollar company in plumbing, as you know,
yes.
You know, he used to still chair a monthly new product development meeting. Every Tuesday, every month, he would chair that meeting. So the managers that surrounded him in that meeting knew how important it was to him and therefore to all of us. And that's the kind of leadership that you need to portray. We all think about Steve Jobs, et cetera, but there's a lot of individual business leaders who have taken that path, just like Herb Kohler.
Okay, now, we've got about a minute and a half before we go to break, but in essence, what Herb Kohler did and what leaders should do is they explain the why of what we're trying to do and try to accomplish, as opposed to just the what and the how.
Exactly, because when you look at the brands, just to extend that example, if you look at an American Standard or a Kohler plumbing product side by side, what transposes in the Kohler brand is pure quality and innovation. You know, you don't see that in that other, and that's what it is all about. You know, and that's what you want to instill. And of course, it has to be aligned with the vision, mission, and strategy of the company that ultimately will provide you the resources that are needed. But that visionary, that mission, and the real commitment to be the chief innovation officer is absolutely imperative.
Okay. Well, we're coming up on our break, everybody. So let me remind you that, you know, for those of you who want to call in and ask a question, the number is 866-472-5790. Or if you're bashful about hearing your voice on the radio, you can email me at chris@chrisruisi.com. So, get your pens and pencils out and paper. I'm old-fashioned, okay? And jot down what Robert is talking about here and give us a call or send us in a question. Stay right there. We're going to be back for our second segment where we're going to drill down into what Robert just called the rules of innovation. We'll be right back.
Always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now toll free 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Make sure to order your copy today of Step Up and Play Big, where Chris Ruisi coaches you on how to create a future vision, make better decisions, develop effective business habits, and find out what it means to be a leader by identifying and solving problems to drive you and your organization to top performance levels. This book is a must-read for all business leaders. Find out how to get your own copy of the book on Amazon.com or by visiting ChrisRuisi.com and clicking the book. Many leaders and companies work with Chris Ruisi. As a business mentor, Chris helps to guide these leaders and companies to bigger results and puts them on the road to success. If you are looking to step into a bigger role in your organization, email Chris today to learn how you can be exceptional with less effort than you think. You can send an email to Chris at ChrisRuisi.com or you can visit the website to find out where Chris will be appearing next, coaching, and his books. Visit ChrisRuisi.com to step up and play big.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
We're always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd like to send us an email, please send it to Chris at ChrisRuisi.com. Now, back to Step Up and Play Big.
Okay, and we're back. We had a great first segment with Robert on innovation and how it needs to be aligned with throughout the organization. Everybody needs to be involved. And the CEO, while everyone has a hand in innovation, it's the chief executive officer, the leader of the organization, who is the chief innovation officer. Again, 866-472-5790 if you want to call in, and I would encourage you to do so. In fact, if you do call in or write in, I'll send you a copy of my book, I'll sign it, and I'll send you some Step Up and Play Big chocolate along with it. We're with my guest, Robert Brand. So, Robert, let's start the second segment with getting into your rules of innovation.
Yeah, so, Chris, this is really all about stepping up and playing big. I mean,
yeah, thank you.
you gave me this lead-in on where I came from. So we created this instant foaming hand soap that you're familiar with in commercial bathrooms and dispensers. Soap had, of course, already existed for centuries in bar soap. Then liquid soap came out, and everybody loved the pumps, but consumers really wanted foam. They wanted that instant gratification of having something that with which you could wash your hands and cleanse. So we stepped up and played big, really by making a commitment of bringing one new product per year to market. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot, right, for any small company, but when you're a small, high-growth company, and you're public in this case, making a commitment to the outside world to do that, and knowing that it took 18 months, a year and a half, from concept to launch, you really had to figure out a system. So what we applied without really knowing it was what I now call Robert's Rules of Innovation, and it's after Robert's Rules of Order. Yep. Robert's Rules of Order, I would assume most of your listeners know, but it's really a little booklet that was created in 1876 by a U.S. general that had organized a meeting, and it was total chaos. So he came out of that and he realized we need a structured, repeatable process how you conduct a meeting. You open it, you have an agenda, you discuss, you vote, etc. And innovation needs just as much. So in Robert's Rules of Innovation, you'll find 10 imperatives, 10 key things that are elements that have to be in place to create and sustain innovation. And it's interesting, the book came out in 2010, Chris, and I've done probably close to 70 workshops and talks, and I haven't found an element yet that was missing, yet I'm only more and more convinced that you need these 10 imperatives. Mm-hmm. So we just spoke about one, which was inspiration, that the CEO has to be really involved and engaged. But it takes a lot more than just inspiration. Obviously, risk-taking is a huge factor, so my second rule is no risk, no innovation. And the key thing I want to say about that is the importance is how do you handle failure? You are going to fail. There's no doubt. Not every initiative and product or service is a success. So So the key learning there is that you have to make it a learning experience. If you fail, it's okay. And it's important to handle it properly to keep your team together, the culture spirited around innovation, and really work around what did we learn.
Yeah, so, I believe that failures and mistakes are the best learning ground that anyone could ever have.
Yeah, I can bet you that there's no successful human being on Earth who hasn't failed in getting to the successes, you know?
Yep.
So the next imperative is really having two what I call structured repeatable processes per se. One is for ideation, creating ideas, creating a pipeline, you know, where you really want to make sure you listen very carefully to the customer. But more importantly, nearly, is to really listen carefully to all your associates. The best ideas often come from within. You know, when we went through the recession, I knew a small Florida-based company that did detailed woodwork. And if you think about a Ritz-Carlton or a high-end hotel and you walk into those bars, you see the bar and it looks like it's been there 100 years. They built those from scratch. And they had a business with 250 people, and obviously with the recession starting, they didn't know what to do. They had all these assets and no work. So they asked all their associates, what can we do? And they found out that some church benches had to be built, so that kept them alive for the months, and they ultimately survived and they're thriving again.
Yes.
The essence is, you know, in this ideation pipeline, there's many ways of getting great ideas, but the key is ask your customers and ask your associates.
Yeah, those people closest to it have the solutions.
Absolutely. And it, again, I say it over and over. It's not the requirement and demand it from just the management team to come up with all the ideal solutions, because often they're not close enough to the actual problems. So the next imperative really is to have a new product development process. And that sounds complex, but it isn't. It's basically keeping track of all the steps you have to take to go from concept to launch. And many people call it stage gate process, but it's basically figuring out and creating a business case, developing the product, you know, then testing it, and ultimately getting yourself ready and launching it. And that's a process that you have to have done down pat with checklists so that you can get to market as soon as possible. But as you can imagine, it's going to take a lot more to be successful in innovation. So there's some soft elements like ownership, you know, value creation and accountability that are all important imperatives. And in value creation, you know, if you have the opportunity to patent your concept, you really should, because it creates a great protection in the marketplace. And with Airspray, the company that I came from where we introduced those foaming hand soap pumps, it created so much value that ultimately the company was sold at 15 times EBIT, which is an incredible multiplier from the value that we created. And that was really, the majority of that was due to the fact that we had really patents on all the products that we had introduced to market.
You know, you bring up an interesting point, because when you go 15 times EBITDA, you catch people's attention. And there's a foundation of brilliance in those numbers that helped you achieve them. So while some of my listeners out there may not hit those kind of marks, don't forget the brilliance that exists within your organizations.
Yeah, and absolutely, a very valid point. So to touch on some of the other imperatives, and by the way, all the imperatives can be found on my website called robertsrulesofinnovation.com, but the next one I want to touch on is training and coaching. And training and coaching to me is the often forgotten imperative. I mean, people don't think about it, but new people that come in should be trained. And people that are in the organization need to be trained on and on about best practices versus innovation. And it's really interesting, Chris, that companies like Whirlpool Corporation, they consider training and coaching their number one imperative to succeed in innovation. They see that it is so important for them, it comes higher and first before inspiration or anything else. So don't underestimate the training and coaching element.
Let me just interrupt you there for a second, Rob, because what happens is, at least in my experience, and maybe you've seen the same thing, everybody is really good at showing people what to do and how to do it, but nobody ever goes back and explains why they need to do it, and nobody ever goes back and makes sure the person is proficient in what they do. They may show them and walk away. Have you seen that before?
Yeah, absolutely. I've actually seen it on such a scale that I saw a major company launch an innovation focus, not realizing that people hadn't been properly trained on project management, the very fundamental thing you have to have under control before you start to do anything with innovation. And as a result, after 6 months, they had to stop, back up, start training people, and try to relaunch the initiative. And you can imagine, you cannot relaunch an initiative like this twice in a very large organization. It's already set up to fail. So that is an absolutely key point to realize, Chris.
Okay, good. I'm sorry for the interruption.
Yeah, no, it's fine, it's fine. So the other imperatives that are left are two, which are really observe and measure. And that's a big one for me because I always say what gets measured gets done. And it's really a key one because so many people just look at what I call our lagging indicators. Lagging indicators, looking at the results after the fact. And I think in innovation, it's just absolutely key to look at leading indicators. In other words, okay, what things can I measure that will ensure that I will be successful in innovation going forward? And when you think about that, those are sometimes hard to come up with. But I'll give you a couple examples.
Yes, please.
Yeah, if you brainstorm, for instance, twice a year to come up with new ideas, then keep track of the number of ideas created. That is an early indicator that you have a number that ultimately generates some projects that you're going to work on in detail. Or you can look at the number of patents filed over time versus patents granted. That would be a lagging indicator. The worst thing you can do really is track your R&D spending against sales only, because that is no guarantee of success. Now, the last imperative, and again, you can look them up on robertsrulesofinnovation.com, is net reward, net result. It's all about the return on investment, but most importantly, recognition of your employees. They are the most important element to really step up and play big and to make things happen. So make sure that besides bonuses and the return on investment for the company, that people really think about peer recognition, giving people the opportunity to run and lead a team, or get some face time with the boss to be recognized for their work in innovation, and you will have a much greater and more motivated workforce than you can imagine.
You know, it's funny, if you look at all the various reports and studies that are out there about motivation, what motivates teams, money is never on the top, but it's always things like respect, the opportunity to learn, the opportunity to be exposed to new ideas, the opportunity to innovate. Those are the things that really drive results through your employees, because it doesn't matter really how good your product or idea may be. If you haven't got the folks to execute on it, you're not going anywhere.
Absolutely, and you will attract and keep the best employees. The last point I would want to make on this all is it's important for you, your organization, individual or departmental, to make a commitment to innovation. And you said my commitment was to bring at least one new product per year to market. It's an easy commitment to remember and to track and to pursue. When I would walk on the production floor and I would ask an operator of the assembly machines, what do we do in innovation, they would tell me, well, at least one new product per year. So think about those kind of really commitments and goals to set and track, and play that in conjunction with Robert's Rules of Innovation that basically spells the word innovation and is able to help you focus and track what the areas are that you need to build capabilities in.
You know, you just picked my last point, that your rules, if you look at the first letter of each of your rules, it does spell innovation. Make it easy for you, as you said, make it easy for folks to understand what we're going to do. So we're coming up in about 30 seconds on our next break again. This is Chris Ruisi, Step Up and Play Big with Robert Brands today. For more information about my book, you can get it on Amazon, as you can also get Robert's book on Amazon. So stay right there. We're going to come back for our third segment, and we're going to talk more about ideation. I can't say it correctly. Robert's going to teach me that first. So stay right there, and we'll be back in about 90 seconds.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Many leaders and companies work with Chris Ruisi. As a business mentor, Chris helps to guide these leaders and companies to bigger results and puts them on the road to success. If you are looking to step into a bigger role in your organization, email Chris today to learn how you can be exceptional with less effort than you think. You can send an email to chris@chrisruisi.com, or you can visit the website to find out where Chris will be appearing next, coaching, and his books. Visit chrisruisi.com to step up and play big. Make sure to order your copy today of Step Up and Play Big, where Chris Ruisi coaches you on how to create a future vision, make better decisions, develop effective business habits, and find out what it means to be a leader by identifying and solving problems to drive you and your organization to top performance levels. This book is a must-read for all business leaders. Find out how to get your own copy of the book on Amazon.com or by visiting chrisruisi.com and clicking the book. Get the news on our shows and other happenings by following us on Twitter. Find us at VoiceAmericaTRN or twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN.
We're always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd like to send us an email, please send it to chris@chrisruisi.com. Now, back to Step Up and Play Big.
And we're back. I got to tell you, this is our third segment, and this show is just flying by. It's been great so far, and it's only going to get better. Just to remind you all, 866-472-5790 if you want to call in, or if you email me at chris@chrisruisi.com. We'll get your question answered. We have a great opportunity here with Robert Brands. For more information about my book, it's on Amazon, Step Up and Play Big, How to Be Exceptional, 8 Simple Steps. It's not that hard. You just got to be committed. And if you like, you can go to my Facebook page, Coach Chris Ruisi, and there we put out more information, practical and usable tips. So we're back with Robert, and we're going to talk about, in this segment, ideation. So, Robert, you got the ideation, filling the pipeline.
Yeah, so that's ideation is all about idea creation and filtering. And so it is rule number 3 within Robert's Rules of Innovation. And as I touched on in the earlier segment, it is absolutely key to get as many sources and resources available and into this pipeline to come up with great ideas, starting with, of course, the customer, to be very carefully listening and seeing what you can find that is needed in the marketplace, but also your associates. You know, and beyond that, of course, you look for what's called open innovation technologies around you that you can bring in, and typical brainstorm sessions and other. But ideation is tough because ultimately it's all about, you know, having the right process and having the right way of picking the right projects to work on, which is quite a challenge. And the other day, Chris, I realized that the prioritization process, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, is just as important to innovation as it is to your everyday business. Because if you don't figure out what you should be working on that is strategic and that helps you grow your business, you're basically just going to work every day to put out fires. And that really doesn't help work. So a little bit about ideation. I mean, first of all, there's 3 phases. You know, you got your pre-work. You have to really pick your participants to do a session. And I always like diversity as much as you can, because with more diversity, you'll get more and better input. And you want to really figure out what do we want to talk about. You don't want to go with all kind of different subjects in the same session. Then, of course, you have your event, and then the post-event, where you will look at ranking and evaluating. So there's tons of ideation techniques, and a few I'm sure many of your listeners are very familiar with like brainstorming, which I love. But there's 2 techniques I want to share with you, which I think are top and have been very productive for me in my innovation coaching. One is brain writing, and the other one is whiteboarding. So let's start with whiteboarding. Whiteboarding is a way where you take an easel with an empty piece of paper and a couple of markers, and you put that easel near a high traffic area, like a coffee, the coffee area or a cafeteria, and you basically pose a question or a problem. You'll say, how could we solve this? Or what is the next product or service that we should be working on? And you post it on the top of this empty sheet. On the left-hand side, you put a timeline, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And as the week goes on, you cross out the previous days so people have a sense there's a deadline. And you will be amazed about the spontaneous participation, you know, by people that see the board, see the problem, or see the challenge to come up with a new product or idea that will just start writing on the board. Now, this can be introduced, of course, with a little email the week before. And the best thing to do is at the end of the week when you've collected a bunch of thoughts is to do a voluntary brainstorm session, say at 3 in the afternoon in a certain breakout room, and see who will show up. And I can bet you that a bunch of people who have already participated will show up and help you solve the problem. It works like a charm because it's like not even a dedicated meeting time to get to the initial suggestions and thoughts. So that's called whiteboarding.
Okay, great.
Yeah, the second ideation technique is called brainwriting. And this is basically, it's a quiet start of brainstorming. So instead of brainstorming where everybody who normally talks is speaking and the introverts are quiet, you basically start with a white piece of paper in front of everybody, and this is typically a group of 6 to 8 people. You ask them to write down a new idea or how we solve a problem, and then without saying anything, you just pass it to your neighbor, and you go clockwise. And you basically have the next person read through it and then add their thoughts to it. It's a quiet form of brainstorm with which you start. Now, what's really cool is that once it goes around the table, you get your sheet back with your idea, and people have built on it. So you feel pretty good when that comes back. So the next step then for the group is to talk about it, share the information, and then pick the one idea or the one solution that we really see merit in and start brainstorming further. So it's a completely opposite of brainstorming where everybody starts talking and sharing. Here we start quietly, we share it on paper, but we get lots of ideas already on paper to build from.
Well, that's great.
So that's called brain writing.
Now, Robert, could you give us one example of, but again, without naming a company, but a particular topic that was addressed that way?
Yeah, there was a defense contractor up in Orlando that had a very heavily engineering-based community of people where you can imagine there were many introverts, and on top of that, they often facilitated with the team leader in front where obviously you have hierarchy, et cetera, that you wanted to avoid. So they posted actually two problems at the same time in a long hallway between the workspace and the test area. And they were surprised how they solved the problem and came up with a new idea in the same week by just posting a couple of those boards. So it's a great technique, and I can assure you that everybody will feel refreshed to do something different than the usual, and you will get everybody involved.
And it engages people in a non-threatening way.
Exactly. Now, what I'd like to share a little bit further with you or talk about is this whole challenge of picking the right ideas and prioritization. Because most of your listeners will have plenty of ideas in their hopper. The last company I was with before we applied this technique had 80 projects, and it was just impossible with the resources, the limited resources, to work on everything. So the big challenge is how do you rank and prioritize ideas to work on the right ones? And what I use as a best practice and what I advocate is to do a one-time process that is a little bit more work, but once it's put in place, it's easily repeatable. And that is to basically ask all your associates by way of a simple survey as to what the criteria are why you would select one idea over another. And to make it easy, you can give them 4 or 5 concepts and leave an other category open so you can get any and all ideas. But I can guarantee you that if you do this, and I've done this many times, that the typical recommendations will flow to the top because most people will figure it out. And if I ask you, for instance, Chris, is like, what would you pick as the key things why you would work on something? I'm sure that sales growth or strategic fit and increasing profitability comes to mind immediately. And So it doesn't matter whether it's an operator or an associates or anybody in the organization or its management, everybody still understands that it is about strategic fit, creating revenue growth or profits, et cetera, et cetera. Now, once you do that and you have established those criteria, you can then test each of the ideas against those parameters and score them. And you basically could do that in a simple spreadsheet. But once you score against those parameters, you can imagine that the right ideas will float to the top. And
yep.
that will help you then set your priorities. And what is really brilliant about applying this best practice is the fact that once you've asked everybody what we should be looking at as to what ideas we should work on, when this comes back after this process, you get total buy-in. Because
mm-hmm.
people now have participated to help select the right projects to work on.
And then there's ownership.
Absolutely. And it's no longer a new product idea that possibly was generated by the management team or selected by the management team that gets delegated down into a team of managers or worker bees. No, it's something that we've all participated in selecting, so when it comes down, there's total ownership. And this is a best practice that I've applied and has worked like a charm, but it's so essential because, you know, you cannot just delegate these kind of ideas down and say, hey, let's have the ownership and work on it.
No, you're right. Exactly right. You know, you want that top-down, bottom-up, or the whole idea of everybody involved and engaged from point one.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, there's a couple little thoughts on ideation that are aside from this all this structured stuff, and one of them is to allow time. You know, it's very unusual. People nowadays want to go fast and quick and don't allow a lot of time, but I'm a big advocate of any of these techniques, whether it's brainstorming or whiteboarding. Allow some time, some unconscious work time in peace and quiet to sort of let ideas distill and see what else will bubble up. You know, when you drive home or when you take a shower, isn't it that you often think about an idea or have an extended thought? So sometimes it's good to do one of these sessions and come back a week later and then see, hey, what else has come to mind, you know?
Yeah. You know, I was talking to a client this morning, and he was commenting to me that he had some really good ideas the other day when he took a break from work and went and drove some golf balls. And
yeah.
it's that change of physical and mental scenery.
Yep.
Which kind of reignites the gray matter, if you will, to give you some different perspective and view on ideas and solutions.
Absolutely. The other thing is, as I alluded to in the earlier segment about the DHL example in the Amsterdam canals, is look around you for solutions. I mean, it's fascinating that the rubber industry learned how to cut rubber from the cheese industry. I mean,
really?
Who would think that? Who would think that, you know? And so it's a matter of being open-minded and look around you what you can apply to your business. And it's those kind of examples that really will help motivate people to not be just stuck on facts that it isn't invented here.
Yep. But, Robert, you know, I don't know if you agree with me, but what the real fuel, the real driving issue here is that you have a goal in which to direct your innovation activities towards. You had a goal of introducing bringing a new product to market every year. It was easy, it was simple, it was measurable. And absent having those goals, you're not really going to take full advantage of the capabilities to innovate, right?
Absolutely. It's absolutely essential to set those goals and set them from a corporate level to a departmental level to an individual level and make sure that you align the reward system. Because if that's not aligned, the innovation output will not come.
Okay, well, we're coming up. I can't believe it. It's going so fast. This is great. We're coming up on the end of our third segment. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about implementation execution, where the rubber hits the road. So stay right there. This is Chris Ruisi with Robert Brands. And we'll be back in about, 90 seconds.
Business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Make sure to order your copy today of Step Up and Play Big, where Chris Ruisi coaches you on how to create a future vision, make better decisions, develop effective business habits, and find out what it means to be a leader by identifying and solving problems to drive you and your organization to top performance levels. This book is a must-read for all business leaders. Find out how to get your own copy of the book on Amazon.com or by visiting ChrisRuisi.com and clicking the book. Many leaders and companies work with Chris Ruisi. As a business mentor, Chris helps to guide these leaders and companies to bigger results and puts them on the road to success. If you are looking to step into a bigger role in your organization, email Chris today to learn how you can be exceptional with less effort than you think. You can send an email to Chris at ChrisRuisi.com, or you can visit the website to find out where Chris will be appearing next, coaching, and his books. Visit ChrisRuisi.com to step up and play big.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
The business community's first choice in Internet talk radio. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd like to send us an email, please send it to Chris at ChrisRuisi.com. Now, back to Step Up and Play Big.
Okay, we're back. This is Chris Ruisi, and this is our last segment. I'm just kind of reviewing my notes. This has gone. This is probably one of the fastest running shows. How quickly it's been going. We've been talking about risk taking. We're talking about Whirlpool, that their number one strategic objective or initiative is training their employees, and the importance of ideas and how to set priorities. And Robert gave us two great ideas to generate ideas. One is brain writing and one is whiteboarding. And you're going to have to listen to the show afterwards to find out what they are and go buy his book. So we're back now in the last segment. We're going to talk about the art of implementation. So Robert, take it away.
All right, Chris. Thank you very much. By the way, if you happen to get any questions still after the show, feel free to forward them to me and I'll try and help them get the answers or give you the answers so we can respond to any possible questions. Before we go into the art of implementation, again, I want to thank you, Chris, for having me at the show today. It's really neat to be part of helping you to think about stepping up and playing big.
Thank you.
So the art of implementation is the implementation of innovation is probably the hardest part of all, because there are so many elements of conflict, especially when you think about objective setting and reward systems. And let me start with a big example. I mean, if you have an organization, say a mid-sized organization with a leader, and underneath this you have somebody head of R&D or innovation and somebody who heads up manufacturing, the R&D people will develop their products or services, but ultimately it needs to be handed over to the manufacturing side. Now, typically, a head of manufacturing, their annual objective is all about efficiency and output and keeping the machines running. And what happens when innovation comes around the corner, suddenly that gets interrupted or it needs to be interrupted to test some things out or to start some new production up. So you can imagine if you don't align those objectives and reward systems, that will completely be one area of big conflict, because you have all these shared resources that need to cooperate to make it happen. So my big tip there is really to make sure that the organization is aligned, for instance, by rewarding everybody with new product sales, a percentage of new product sales, because that makes it developed as well as possible. That motivates the salespeople, but also the manufacturing people. So when something comes around, they would want to get it on the lines and get it produced and out. So the first and foremost thing in execution is objectives and reward system alignment. But what you have to remember is innovation is hard and it's difficult and it's all about change. And as you know, people hate change. So It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And it's you need to really hang in there, continue to be inspirational as a leader. Think about all those imperatives that we talked about around Robert's Rules of Innovation to make things happen. And if you can, assess what your weak point is, you know, so that you basically can figure out what needs to be improved. One of the key things that I also always share, Chris, is to not focus just on innovation. And what I mean by that is, think about Apple. Apple, of course, is the most recognized symbol and brand. If you see the Apple, it says and it stands for innovation. But that doesn't happen by itself. Yes, they have to be innovative. But if you think about the rollout of the iPhone 5, if they didn't have superior financing, an incredible logistical and manufacturing infrastructure and execution behind them to make those things and get it to market on time globally, they would have failed in their innovation, or it would have been perceived as a failure.
Yep.
And so what I'm saying is, you know, you need to focus on all elements of the business. It's finance, it's manufacturing, it's efficiency, and it's innovation, and it needs to be part of the mix. It's like an holistic approach. So don't focus just on innovation. You need to be a star in all the elements, but just make sure it's on your agenda. Another element is really it's all about continuous improvement. You know, everything what you do over and over, making sure that you align things and that you try to improve it time over time, whether it's faster to market or a better, more efficient process. We talked about it in a previous segment, and really try to make sure you have a motto or a creed. You know, adopt at least one innovation per year. We talked about the 10 types of innovation. So this can be adopted by anybody in any department, whether it's finance or logistics or customer service or sales.
But yep, it cuts over all organizational lines.
Exactly. So if you can have everybody accept that or take one as a whole organization, it's a great, simple way to adapt and have everybody focused. And then, you know, last but not least, really creating and using those structured, repeatable processes, whether it's an ideation, in the stage gate, and as I said, ultimately it's about motivating, supporting, and celebrating with your employees to make sure that you can make innovation happen. It's a challenge, Chris, and it's not for the faint-hearted, as they say, but the rewards are tremendous, and innovation really stands for profit and growth and ultimately survivability.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, if it was easy, Robert, everybody else would be doing it. But again, like Step Up and Play Big, it doesn't require that much extra effort to be exceptional, and it doesn't require that much extra effort. It's hard work, but it doesn't require that much extra effort in order to innovate so that you thrive. We're getting close to the end of the show. We got about 3 minutes left to go. But Robert, tell us, if more people want more information, how's the best way to get it from you in terms of your website, the book, and so forth?
So there's two websites they can go to. One is innovationcoach.com. That basically helps you to evaluate, improve, and deliver innovation. I post a blog every other week, and I think one went up freshly today. And the other website is robertsrulesofinnovation.com. But, of course, you can find the book on Amazon or other Internet retailers.
Okay. Well, again, I'm going to finish up reading the book the next couple of days. And I know I'm going to learn. In fact, I've learned a lot today. I've got about 7 pages of notes. So we're getting close to the end. And I want to thank Robert again for all of his excellent ideas and information. And the show will be up as a recorded version of it within 24 hours on my page site here at Voice America. And I want to end with my rant this week on becoming a great leader. And becoming a great leader isn't easy. The fact is everyone can or will may not become a great leader, but everyone can become a better leader than they are today if they make the choice. Becoming a better leader requires hard work and focus, but it's far from an impossible task. Now, the one common trait shared by those who desire to become better leaders is a commitment to continuous and ongoing learning. They want to be better. They work at it every day. They just don't talk about it. They act on it every day. They put personal growth and development, much like Whirlpool, at the top of their daily strategic agenda. Now, remembering that personal growth only takes place after you've made the choice, here are 5 steps that you can use to get started on your leadership journey. Number 1, identify your learning goal or desired outcome. Number 2, work backwards from your goal and identify the steps you'll need to follow to achieve your goal, as well as determine the resources you will need. Develop your plan to acquire the learning. Number four, use what you learn immediately. Don't wait for the perfect time to use it. And number five, ask for feedback from those you trust and take that feedback and adapt as necessary. Now, I want to thank you all for listening in. The next 2 weeks, we're going to play some encore presentations. Next week will be Willie Deagle from the Food Network. And on May 7th, it's going to be Pat Healy, the CEO of Viking Yachts. So why am I doing an encore presentation? Because I'm off to Japan on Friday morning to visit our son, who's a naval aviator. Yes, he flies a jet on and off an aircraft carrier. And we'll be with him for the next 10 to 12 days. So this is me signing off. I want you to all have a great rest of the week. Go out and make something happen. So step up and play big. And as we learned today, get off your duffs and go innovate. Thanks, everybody, and thanks, Robert.
Thanks for tuning into the show, Step Up and Play Big, featuring Chris Ruisi, can be heard live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Be sure to join us again next week.